This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, and over there in Austria wearing clothes co-host, Monica.
What the fuck?
Well, you're wearing a new shirt. You know, it was a momentous occasion.
A momentous... You make it sound as if all the time I would just... Well, I can't even talk myself out of that one now, so let's just maybe not. yes, I put some additional clothes on. Let's just say that, because unlike our guest, I do wear clothes when I sit on my computer most of the time.
I'm wearing trousers today.
That look of affront as if that's not true.
Because, yes... We do have a guest on today, and we're super excited, in case nobody noticed. We have the Mr. Biggest Bennis on today on our podcast.
Ooh. Hello. I'm also wearing clothes.
Hello.
look.
Three.
Trousers.
We can't see that. But
oh.
I saw it.
I can't see that. Chat can't see it. Oh my gosh, I saw a leg. Amazing. Did that hurt?
I saw a naked leg.
Oh, my
one.
Back.
Wow.
Oh. I love that it's a podcast and we're all talking about visual things. So Moni's wearing clothes for once, apparently.
We do that all the time. We often talk about the weather. So it's like really a step up or a step down. I'm not sure.
Definitely step up.
Step up.
Can't get any better than this, can it?
Oh. Well, nice. Well, really good to chat to you. We've chatted before. Wait, I was about to say, is this the first time we've spoken, interacted on voice chat where we're not drunk? But I've just realized I've already had a glass of wine.
So. I have already had a beer.
It's about specifics in that discussion. So it's the first time you see us at the same time that we talk, basically.
Yes. Because we were on live with you for a family feud.
That's right. You were the Dominators?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
What question is this even?
Who else would be that smart, that ingenious to come up with that?
Oh, you didn't dominate the scoreboard, did you?
No, we didn't.
No. But we won the costumes.
We won of hearts. That's what we won.
You made the highlights video as well for the 100 days.
I saw.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
I was quite proud, to be fair. But yes, it was a good idea. We had that. We didn't practice it at all for 20 minutes or something, shitting ourselves while we're doing it over and over and over again. But sure.
It worked. It was fine. Perfect.
Yeah.
It was. And then, of course, we had our brief interaction this morning.
The brief, yeah. Fresh out the shower. I was like, oh, wait, I just got out of the shower. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got the, I'm just going to do, we're going to do like a little dry run at 1:45. And I was like, oh, it's 1:55.
So what happened is Ben arranged a time with us just to check their cameras were in the right spot. And he was like, I'll be there at 1:45.
I already ben said that's what's going to happen.
I was in the shower. I was washing my bits for that time.
Yeah. And so we messaged Ben at 12:50. You coming? A couple minutes later. Oh, shit. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Comes on. He goes, he's like this, as close as you kind of basically saw him from here. And I was like, yeah, these camera angles aren't going to work. He's like, okay, what if I sit here? Okay, good. Bye.
And then he was gone.
And he was gone. Monica was still waving.
Well, that happened. Yes, I'm sorry.
It worked.
It was amazing. So Ben, tell us, for anybody in chat that doesn't know who you are, and also for the podcast listeners, tell us who you are.
I am Biggest Bennis. I am I used to be a variety streamer, not so much nowadays. I'm trying to get a little bit of it back in there, but I mainly play Animal Crossing and do weird and stupid stuff with that. And yeah, I've been streaming for 3.5 years now, and I've just done 100 days of streaming in a row. Had a very relaxing day off. and I'm back on the grind now. And yeah, I love Twitch, and I made some great friends through there. And how long have we actually known each other now? It feels like I've known you for at least 3 weeks, but I think it's not been that long, I think.
At least 3 weeks.
At least. It's been at least, I think, a month and a half, actually.
Yeah.
I think at least May.
Yeah. Because it wasn't too long after we brought the show onto Twitch that we were randomly raided you one night.
Because I remember, you gave me one of those random, is it random or a blind raid, they're called, or something. And then I checked out your channel. I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. Like, sometimes you get them and you look at them and like, okay, cool. I'll see what they're like. But I instantly was drawn to your channel. Like, this sounds great.
You're such.
I was like someone with my similar morals. Because, you know, there's internet's full of assholes.
Oh,
we know what you're talking about. It's a great place.
Do you know the reason that I rated you is because you were the only one in the recommended channels that had under 100 viewers. And I was like, oh, it must be a new streamer. Like, let's go, let's rate. And they're playing Mario Kart. It's amazing. And I was like, holy shit, this guy is like almost at 5,000 followers. He's doing 100 days of stream. Like, and you're lovely. And I was like, couldn't have been better.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, that's another thing about me. I am an English teacher, but I was furloughed in March. So they said, hey, you can't work, but we'll pay you 80% of your salary. So I'm like, yay, it's been great.
Sure, why not?
Despite the shit that, how shit that is, it's also quite a good time, wasn't it?
This is going to sound very kind of...
No, say it like it is.
The virus, this pandemic has helped me a lot with lots of stuff. I've benefited a lot from it.
Yeah.
I've benefited from everybody's misery. Yeah.
Don't feel bad about this, because I think some people have the benefit of this having happened to them, mm-hmm. and others, unfortunately, not. But I don't think you can feel bad for that, because you just took the opportunity at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if the, I can't, because I'm so good at checking out these show notes. I can't remember if there was a question, but at the beginning of the 100 days of stream, which I started in March. And literally the 100 days of streaming in a row, it was scheduled to finish on my birthday. And then day one was when Animal Crossing was released. So Animal Crossing got released on day one, as did Doom. I played like two levels of that and then like, nope, I'm going to play Animal Crossing. And I had like an average of 20 viewers, 22 viewers. It was nice. There's always people to chat to when I was streaming and stuff. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to stick with Animal Crossing, Gus. I'm here. There's all these crazy things that I can do with Animal Crossing, and I can keep it hopefully fresh for as long as possible. And then people seemed to stick around, and more people came and stuck around. And then on days, I want to say it's like 83 or something? I'm not sure. It was like, it'll have been something like that, Gus. It was June the 11th, I think, or the 12th that I got partnered. And like, if you told me at day one that I was going to get partnered by like even in the next year, I'd have just said, yeah, what happened? What would have happened? But yeah, Animal Crossing did it.
What have you smoked, what you would have asked?
Yeah, like I'd say like 90% of the people that are in my chat now, like that are regularly there, have just come by the last 3 months.
Oh, and they're all really nice. I mean,
yeah, besides, nearly all of them are really nice. Yeah.
Besides us, of course.
No.
Yeah, we're
no offense, Jono.
And he was just so nice. He said, without coronavirus, I wouldn't be here right now. But you're throwing shade at him. Like,
no, we should throw shade at each other. That's what, like, Jono and everyone knows that if I'm rude to you, it means I really like you. I'm like a typical kind of kid. You know, like, you pull the hair of the girl that you don't like, but you actually secretly like her. And...
High five to that one.
I agree. So let's rewind, Ben, and let's take you into our rapid fire round just to get to know a little bit more about you.
Oh,
about your past.
About your past, your dirty, dirty past.
Oh dear, this is where it all comes out, isn't it? Damn it! I have too much wine. I'm going to end up saying things.
Never mind.
Okay, that's fine. So where are you from?
I am from the north of England, near Leeds and York.
Yes, you do sound Yorkshire. Like you've got a York
accent. Oh, thanks. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Actually,
where I'm from, you know, like everyone, I don't know if, you know, but in the UK, there are certain areas have got like little kind of, not pet names, but it's just like in Manchester, in places they say, cheers, duck. In Wales, they say, all right, butt. They say butt. Where I'm from,
that's why you moved there, right?
No, where cock. I'm from, they say cock. They go, all right, cock. How are you doing, cock?
Oh my gosh. I'm so going to text my friend that after this show. I'll be like, all right, cock. She'll be like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
So you moved from cock to butt is basically what happened.
Yeah, I discovered that I was a true top and decided, no, cock wasn't for me. I'm all about butt.
Perfect. Fabulous.
Then I moved to Spain because I lived in Spain for 8 years. So I went to...
8 years?
Yeah, I went and you don't ask me about my Spanish. No, it's okay. I can order food. I can ask somebody if they host, and that's about it, really. But no, I went to Cardiff. Well, I went to London. So I was 18. I went to London for a year, studied astronomy at university. Astronomy, cool, you know, space. It's got maths, it's physics. It was like 90% chemistry. So I thought, fuck that. I'm going. And I left after a year and then moved. And I was like, well, I'm actually interested in politics. So I switched to politics and found Cardiff. Cardiff was actually my second on my list previously when I was looking for like astronomy, astrophysics kind of stuff. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go for Cardiff. Went there, studied there, decided while I was studying. I enjoyed the degree and stuff, but decided that, yeah, politics is full of assholes. So, and you can do better stuff voluntarily, I think, than actually working in politics. So decided not to do that. And then one day I got an email saying, hey, do you fancy being an ESL teacher? And I was looking for a job for ages because I was working in British Gas. Sorry, this is meant to be the quick fire. I'm giving you my life story.
Never mind, they're never quick. They're never quick.
My life story now. I've not said it for ages. But then I, when I finished finished my degree, because I was working at part-time at British Gas, is like the energy company here, and it was actually a really good place to work for. They were very kind, although now they've pretty much just made everyone redundant. But yeah, I got an email saying like, who do you want to be in, do you want to work abroad and teach English? And I thought, you know what, that sounds great. And Dave, my partner, was totally up for it as well. So we ended up just applying for, we did this course, this little like measly course. I ended up applying for loads of jobs and then got one. We both got one in a school in Zaragoza in Spain, which is like a city between Barcelona and Madrid. And we both got offered a job. So we're like, well, let's do it. Why not? So we went there. When we went there, we stayed for like 3 or 4 days in Barcelona before and was like, oh God, this city's amazing. So yeah, went to Zaragoza, worked there for 2 years, but we always wanted to go back to Barcelona. So we went back to Barcelona, we got a job and stayed there for 6 years before moving back.
Oh, nice. When did you move back then?
June, last June. So, well, yeah, pretty much 1 year ago. This is like 1 year back in the UK.
And is the Dave from Wales, is that why you ended up there?
If I'd not accepted the first one and gone to Cardiff, I'd have met Dave when he was in a relationship. And so it must be fate that I was, you know, postponed it a year.
That was definitely fate.
Yeah.
So you're together for how long now?
Way too long. God, I don't know. 13 years?
That's what I would have said as well to my boyfriend, yeah. That is.
12 and a half.
Aw. Oh, you were a baby then.
That's like 60 in straight years, isn't it, with gays? Because, you know, they...
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I can't think of any of my gay, like my other gay friends who are in a relationship that long. So I'm like, yeah, that's a long time. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Don't seem convinced yourself, but he's really nice. You should be more nice to him though.
Yeah. Oh, that's the character I play. I'm very nice off stream, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So when are you a geek since? Like, if you have a year, if you know the year, maybe a story of your first geeky experience?
I do have a really, not embarrassing story. I've always been a geek. I've always loved video games ever since. I can tell you two stories. One is cute. The other one I regret. We'll go for the cute one first because that was the first
one. We're here for both.
So I've always loved video games. I never had a video game console growing up, really, as a young kid. But my sister once brought over a SNES, and I remember playing Zelda, and I just spent the entire time cutting the grass in Zelda. That's all I cared about. I had no idea what the story was or anything like that. I was like, oh my God, I can cut grass in this. And every now and again, a rupee thing would pop up. So I just...
Basically, that's the basic of your Animal Crossing addiction now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did, yeah. And then I went and... And also was it Super Mario Kart back then? That was great fun. So when I go and find like the Super Mario Kart, like revamped levels in the new Mario Kart, it's like, wow. I remember playing this when it was, you couldn't tell what was on the screen half the time.
I know.
But then
sometimes I play them on emulator and I'm like, oh, this makes me feel ill. How did I play this all the time?
3D games. I mean, 2D games in the past, sure, they hold up sometimes because it's like a style. But like when you play PS1 games and you're like, oh, this is terrible.
Yep. It wasn't at the time. Put yeah, it in the time where it was.
But anyway, my pair, I remember it was like 1998, I want to say, or 7. Oh, I can't remember. It was either 97 or 98. Around about September or October. I think my parents had decided to get me a PS1, but they hadn't told me. And I remember I went shopping with my mum because I used to always go shopping on a Friday night with her. And I remember looking at this magazine, PlayStation magazine, going like, oh, it's amazing. And can I have the magazine? And I remember in my head, she's like, oh yeah, you can have the magazine. And I still had no idea whatsoever that she was going to get me it. I just thought, oh my God, they've got me a PlayStation magazine. I can read about the games. I can't play them, but I can read about them. Aww. And I was so obsessed. And then on Christmas Day, we opened our presents. I think I got something nice. And then my dad was like, oh, check the post. And I was like, I'm not checking the post. It's Christmas Day. The post hasn't come. It's like 8 a.m. on Christmas morning. What are you talking about? He's like, no, go check the post. I'm like, Dad, no. And he's like, check the post. I'm like, okay. So I went to check the post and, oh my God, there was a letter there. And he made a treasure hunt around the house.
Oh, nice.
And at the end of the treasure hunt was the PlayStation. And I was so excited, I was sick and had to go. I went to the bathroom. I think I made myself sick.
Aww, that's a cute story. That's dad goals right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think that classes as geeky.
That does.
But yeah, anyway, when I was like 17, no, 17 or 18, my friend was, he writes for this magazine. Now it's called Vada, I think VADA. It's a queer magazine. But back then it was something different. I can't remember what it was, but he wanted to like feature some geeks. So I was like, well, I'm a geek. And and I just answered all the questions really sarcastically. And then one of the questions was like, who's your nerdy crush? And I was like, oh, I'll just go for a politician. And because why not? And I said, well, I like blondes. So I like Boris Johnson.
What? No.
Back when he was like,
what did you smoke?
I know it was completely as a joke. I'm sorry. And this was like,
I need to fill my wine
like
for this.
15 years ago.
I need to drink on this. It's not strong enough what I'm having right now.
But this was like when he was kind of a nothing.
Yeah, but the hair, I promise he would have had the hair back then already. So like, what the fuck?
I just remember putting that down because I was like, I'm going to write this as a joke.
It's going to hunt you again eventually.
I've been cancelled, I think, now. Yeah, looking at the
chat. You have been, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I could go back and change one thing in my entire life, it would be that.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Because he's a...
So, wow. Other than Boris Johnson, who are your biggest geeky influences?
Wow.
Oh, wow. That was a loaded question. A geeky influencer.
So you think books, movies, TV shows, teachers, games, whatever else comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that, I've got I would say a lot of friends, and especially on Twitch, getting to know a lot of people my age who are also into games and being like, wow, it's not just for kids and stuff. So there are other people my age, you know, on Twitch. I found them. There's this old lady who plays games and has for many, many times.
The Skyrim grandma.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, this guy, exactly. You know, people like that, really they mainly influence. I'm not going to say J.K. Rowling, by the way, Gus.
No, we're not going to.
No.
Whoever wrote
Harry
that
Potter,
one
I quite liked. Yeah, I quite liked Harry Potter.
The book that was found under the bridge in Scotland somewhere.
Yeah.
Ask Mr. Weeble, he knows the origin story.
I did love reading Harry Potter, but I've got to say my favorite books as a kid were the His Dark Materials.
Love them.
Pullman. Oh, have you read the new trilogy?
I haven't.
I have
read everything, I think, that he's written up until kind of the new stuff.
Yeah, it's so good, but it does feel like I'm reading pretty much it's just the same thing. It's obviously not the same story, but it's just written so identically. It's okay. I enjoy it, but it doesn't feel that new. Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. I recommend it.
Also, I'll definitely be checking them.
Yeah, no, and also Artemis Fowl, but I can't remember a single thing about it. And apparently the new TV program's not very good or something.
Mm.
Or the movie.
I got recommended that by my English teacher and I never read it.
I never read it either. Should've. Or maybe I read the first one.
Mm. Yeah, I love Philip Pullman's books and I tried to read them. But I think he also writes adult books, doesn't he? I want to say.
I'm going to say yes, but I've only read his kids' books.
Yeah.
So, and I've read most of them.
I tried to watch his Dark Materials on BBC lately, and I just couldn't really get into it.
Even what's his face? James McAvoy didn't pull it over?
No.
Damn it.
Well, that's disappointing, because I was looking forward to catching it sometime.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you would like it. I don't like TV. That's another thing as well about me. I don't like TV shows. I get really, really, really bored watching TV series. I watched Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones was one I watched, and apart from, like, I like the odd sitcom and documentaries and stuff, like Tiger King. I watched that.
I haven't watched it yet, but I think I really should.
You should, but it's weird. Like, you know, normally there's a documentary and you kind of pull one way or the other, and there's somebody you like, and then maybe it'll twist it and you like another person. I hated everyone, like, from start to finish in that documentary. There was not a single redeeming person in that. Like, nobody. I just...
Maybe that was a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I recommend... I mean, it was okay. I think I preferred that documentary about suffocating cats. You know,
I saw the first episode of that, and it was like...
What was it?
Don't fuck with cats.
Yeah, I saw
not
it.
How to fuck Jesus. Cats. That's something. Don't Google that.
Don't Google that one. Don't fuck with cats. Saw don't the first episode with my parents and Tom, and they were like, "What the fuck is this?" Mm. And I was like, "I don't know. I thought it was about cats. This is not about cats."
I mean, it was kind of about cats.
Yeah, the first episode includes animal cruelty, but after that, it's fine. Then it takes so many turns. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's way better.
I'm with human cruelty. That's
honestly
fine.
Watch
and
it
then
afterwards.
Continue watching it. It's hardcore. It's so intense, but it's really good.
Tom, that's what we're watching next. Take note.
I went to bed at like 6 a.m. because I couldn't stop watching it. I watched one episode and then had to watch. It's like the Tiger King. I think that I went to sleep about 5 a.m. as well. So, like, when something does grab me, it does. But TV program, like TV series, I have not watched Game of Thrones is pretty much the only TV series I've watched.
And then it ended so shit.
Yeah. I tried to put a smile on and I was like, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It is.
It's pretty bad.
I love the beginning. I even read a bit of the book. I got through the first book, and the second one I made like 7 attempts at trying to read it, but oh my God,
I've read them all, but they are slow, but they're good.
There was one bit where he gets off a boat, and then he's sister starts grabbing his dick or something, and that takes like 60 pages, and I was like, oh,
what?
I'm done.
No.
He literally just got off a boat and then got molested by his sister. And
who is he? Like, Jamie Lannister?
No, it's the guy from the Iron Islands with the girl, you know, his sister who could beat the crap out of
anybody. Yeah, what's her face? Don't remember.
Names are hard right now.
She was cool in the show. I liked
her.
She
was very cool in the show. Tom is telling you that his sister did.
Theon,
not
the one who grabbed his stick.
I'm sure she grabbed his knob like while they were on the horse. Sorry, is this family friendly? I forgot.
Never.
Who are you talking to?
I know. I just remember I raided you the other day, and you were like, "This isn't fucking family friendly."
I would never say that.
Also, no, you were talking about like geeky people that influence you. I had a very good friend that I went to high school with, and he worked for Team 17, and he like was the first person to ever show me a PSP. He got like a PSP imported from Japan, and he was somebody I really looked up to, and he worked for Team 17. Now, he told me, so this is allegedly that they used to take coke on their breaks. I think it's closed down now, that studio that place where they did it. But I don't know if anybody here has played Worms, and you can completely understand like that.
Well, you would need coke for that game, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Apparently they used to snort it like on their break time, like at 11 o'clock break time. And
nice. I mean, I hear you get really productive from coke, so I guess that's something.
Yeah, apparently. It worked.
You get productive
I mean,
from coke? I thought that was speed.
Don't you get like super happy and all? I have no idea. What are your current geeky pastimes?
That might be combined with the current geeky thing we're talking about, but...
Yeah. What are my geeky pastimes? Apart from gaming?
Sure.
All of it.
Like, I'm geeky when it comes to gaming, but other stuff I don't, like, I don't particularly read that much. I actually really like audiobooks. I used to take the train, so I used to live in Barcelona, and I worked in Sabadell, which is a city it's very close, but from my door to school used to take about an hour and a half to get there each day, or an hour and 15. So I would pretty much just have audiobooks, and that's like 90% of my books that I've consumed in my life are audiobooks, literally just going to and from work for 6 years. So that's That's pretty much like the geekiest thing. And I got to say, I did listen to all of Harry Potter because it's narrated by Stephen Fry. And he puts the voices, download illegal copies of it. Am I allowed to say that on here? Download sure. illegal copies of that sure. and listen to Stephen Fry narrating it because, yeah.
Stephen Fry is a lovely guy.
He's pro-trans, isn't he? I'm sure he will be.
Oh, he better be.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I did so.
I can't imagine he's not, but I mean, who the fuck knows? But I can't imagine he's not.
It's this weird. I mean, there's obviously the typical bigots that are transphobic, but then there's this weird kind of right-wing conservative feminism that's despising trans people, and it really winds me up. Because they're the ones that they're often quite morally, they think that they've got morals on their side.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. doesn't make sense.
We had that in one of the previous episodes that we were recording. It's just, it seems for them that there is only one way and there can't be various things at the same time. Like, you can't still want to protect women and fight for women's rights, but also that does not mean that you can't fight for trans rights as well, and that the one takes away from the other. And yeah, it's just shit times for TERFs.
Good. TERFs need to be deplatformed. I saw that the biggest TERF subreddit got banned on Reddit yesterday. Gender critical. Also, do you know Mumsnet?
Mm-hmm.
I heard the best name ever for that somebody called it. They called it Prosecco 4chan. Which I think is like,
wow,
that's amazing.
I will not call it anything other than Prosecco 4chan.
No, it's perfect. The perfect description of everything right now.
Yeah. It was in someone's Twitter replies, and I was like, I'm using that.
Oh yeah. We have you on today because, I mean, we think you're awesome despite being rude to you most of the time, like 99.9% of the time.
It'd be weird if you didn't, to be honest. Yeah, when people are nice to me in chat, it's like, can you not be a troll or something? That'd be
Can you not be a troll?
Trolls are easier.
Well, you're really good with them, I think.
When it comes to trolls, if they're like actually rude and offensive, I'll ban them. But when they're just like, what's Dodo code? Then I'll quite happily take the piss out of them for a bit.
It's pretty hilarious.
What's the geeky thing we're talking about today?
Oh, you're trying to bring up the show notes thing?
No, yeah. Just say something you want to
just
talk about.
Just say something. What are we talking about today?
Let's talk about... Oh, we could talk about stuff that's happening with Twitch. Yeah. Banning. Oh, did you do that one?
Ooh.
Is that a bit too deep?
We talk about you as well, but we can swing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can totally work that in here.
Did you see who they banned yesterday?
Who?
Trump.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah, we talked about that. Sorry.
Honestly, I wasn't even aware that he was on Twitch.
I think they just, apparently it was just like bad quality versions of his rally.
Great.
I like that they banned him. At least someone does. When Twitter just doesn't do it, then at least Twitch is going to be like, we're not going to show your crap on our platform.
Yeah.
But they have other things to deal with.
Yeah, although it was just a temporary suspension, but I think they're just like following exactly their rules. They're like, I don't care if you've got thousands of people and you're the president, you know, first you get a 24-hour ban, then you'll get a 7-day ban. And then they'll just probably every now and again, they'll just click and go like, yeah, look what he's posted. Right. Let's get rid of it. Although I doubt he'll end up streaming from there again.
Well, no. And that because he's a child.
Yeah.
So
I read a really weird rumor that he might not stand if the poll numbers stay the same.
I read that as well. Actually, who did I hear? Hear say that or see say that. So Ben, you're a streamer, and you know from you are.
Yeah,
it's stating the obvious.
Oh shit.
So let's talk about your achievements for like 2 seconds. Uh-oh. Just that's it. Just 2 seconds. So you've done 100 days of streams.
Let's talk about your achievements. Just we'll count fill more than like, 2 seconds. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You made Twitch partner. You raised over $8,000 for the Trevor Project.
Actually, I forgot about that. Yeah,
you forgot and about that. What the fuck is wrong with you?
No, when I was talking about stuff that we did, that was
yeah. You're doing all the things, and you're part of the Rainbow Arcade, which is an LGBTQIA+ streaming community team on Twitch, and so that's all the awesome things. So, what do you love about doing all of that?
Just chatting. Like, the only reason I started streaming was because I like playing video games, but I also, I'm very, very, very social. Like, it used to annoy my friends and also Dave when I'd go to... So, in Leeds, there's this bar called Queen's Court, and you go to one. It's a really, really, really thin but long bar. But anyway, this bar... So, I used to go in this bar at the top, and I used to go from like one end to the other, and it would take me about half an hour, like just saying hello to people. So when I was, I don't know. I love playing video games, but I love being really social. So I was like, well, I'm going to stream. And finally got the internet that was able to do a decent upload speed when I lived in Sabadell, which is also good because that was a weird place full of, it was a bit like, but it was a very religious city, and everyone in there, it was like 2.4 children. On a Sunday, they would all go to church pushing their prams. Every single person there was a family with a child that had a pram. And so I was like, I didn't fit in there in that city at all because I lived there for 1 year. Just in, technically it's in Barcelona, but it's just outside. So that's when I started streaming to kind of get away from all those annoying people. And I've forgotten what the question was now.
What do you love about streaming?
Yeah, that's it. It's just socializing. Got to know some amazing people. Ben never went to church. I haven't. No, I've been to church. My mother was actually in a religious education teacher at high school.
Was she?
She then became, yeah, and my dad was a math teacher. Yeah, no. Then he... He became head teacher, then he retired, and my mum took over the head teacher job there until she retired. I was like, I'm not going to take over.
And then you became an English teacher yourself.
And then I was an English teacher, yeah. So,
what does weird. It say about you?
But anyway, I started streaming, and there's another... Do you want me to tell you the reason why there's so many weird... Why it's weird that there are so many Norwegians in my chat?
I don't think that's weird, but yes, please tell us.
Yeah. There's a band called Donkey Boy. Have you heard of Donkey Boy? Very popular in Norway and Scandinavia. And, I'm going to give you the long story. So there was I'm sorry about this. It's very boring.
It's fine.
I used to love the X Factor. I used to spend every Saturday night watching the X Factor. And there was a guy called Joe McElderry that won. And I quite liked him. He came out just after he won. It was kind of obvious. But then the year after, he came back with his song. And he sang this song called Ambitions. And I was like, I like this song. I wonder what it was like when it was sung in tune. And I went and Googled it.
Wow.
And it was this guy, and it was this band called Donkey Boy. So I went and found their album. I was like, this is kind of like Europop. And listened to a lot of their other songs, going like, oh my God, this is amazing. Follow them on the socials, on Facebook and stuff like that. And yeah, I used to always keep like logging because there was a while they didn't release anything. But like when they did, I used to always be like the first person to listen. And on release day, I would listen to all their music. And yeah, for a while, they hadn't released anything. And there was a friend of mine called Ben Cooper on Twitter. We used to always talk about how much we love Donkey Boy. And I saw him on Twitter once, and I was like, oh God, what happened to Donkey Boy? And I looked at them on Facebook, and they were like, hey, we're going to start streaming on Twitch. This is our channel. Tune in, you know, in the next month or so. I was like, okay. I just started on Twitch. Going to be for 3 months, I think, I've been streaming. And then, so I followed them and I put on the alert to see when they were going live. And then one day I was just about to click going live and they had gone live. So I tuned into them and watched them. And then they were only like, they had like 10 or 15 viewers. And I got chatting with them and then ended up playing games, got to know them as their community obviously grew because they were quite famous. So they became really big. And like a few years ago, they invited me to go over to Norway and stay with them and do some streaming with them because they've got this like set up with four people, or I think there were five or six, and yeah, hung out there and got to know them. I ended up sleeping on the studio, like their basement is the studio, so I slept on the sofa there. So I woke up going like, I'm sleeping on the, like, so I'm sleeping in the studio of Donkey Boy, this band that I've loved for years and years. It's totally surreal. And yeah, the next morning, actually, not the lead singer, but Kato, he, like, as I was waking up, he came in and like turned on the computer and was like, hey, these are like three songs that we're thinking of releasing next. What do you think of them? And like just started playing them. I'm like, oh my, what?
Nice.
Is this real? And yeah, since then, I know they're such lovely people. If I was messaging them a day ago, because they like Dr. Disrespect. So they're like, what the hell's happened with Dr. Disrespect? And,
do they know?
I have no idea. No, they don't. Nobody knows, it seems. But yeah, I got to know so many people. Melon Manon, who I'm going to be doing some duo streaming with tomorrow. I got to know him. I got to know him because when I was playing PUBG with...
You were playing PUBG. Who the fuck are you?
I used to play PUBG a lot and Fortnite.
Who the fuck are you?
I know. So I played that with Norwegian Thunderboys. Donkey Boy is four people. The Norwegian Thunderboys is four people, but there are only two people that are the same. It's, yeah, the Norwegian Thunderboys, I ended up playing with them, and Kato, who is the bass guitar player, and in Donkey Boy, he shot me. I think he pretty much emptied two magazines into me because he thought I was an enemy. So Melum slid into my whispers and said, "You need to say, Ikka sheep mine," which is Norwegian for "don't shoot me." And now we're best friends. And the rest is history.
The internet's pretty great, right?
That's what I love about Twitch. There are so many people, like Bayleaf. He's been following me since 2017. We've kind of spoken a bit. And then recently, since I started playing Animal Crossing, we've really got to know each other. And
aww.
Yeah, one of the reasons I was a bit late was I was chatting with him this morning. I was texting. There's so many.
We can handle that if it's for Bayleaf, because Bayleaf is the best.
He is. Yeah. I deny. Yeah, so Bayleaf is the reason. Also, Atty was cuddled up in my legs, so I didn't really want to get up.
I understand how that goes.
Yeah.
This is my dog. It's not like a random person. He's been downstairs all day.
Here comes our stream dog.
Yeah, but there's just so many interactions. Like I went to, so the Norwegian Thunderboys, they had their own like awards show. It was like a big party. And one of the messengers messaged me. I was like, "Hey, is there any chance you could come along to this?" And I was like, well, I was kind of thinking like that would be cool, but when they reached out and like personally invited me, I'm like, oh, well, I've got to go now. So, and also there was a direct flight to Oslo from Barcelona and it was really quick to get there. So yeah, I ended up going there and meeting so many people that I got to know through the stream. It was just, it was an absolute dream. And yeah, I've got so, so, so many amazing stories from Twitch and like getting to know people that it's probably the best decision I ever made was to start streaming.
Aww. Monica and I are feeling that about ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So like, we feel you on that, and we're only at the beginning of our journey. So I guess with everything happening with like all the bands and all the streamers coming out and like everything that's happening in the last kind of June of the year, this year of a June has been, shit.
Yeah. It's shit, but also get rid of them. I'm happy that they're making... Yeah. They're actually getting rid of the trash. There's obviously the awful thing that these things have happened, but we can't change that they've happened. But I'm glad that they're actually taking some action. And it's making a lot of people, it's great. Oh, it sounds really weird saying the word great there, but it's inspiring seeing all these people having the inspiration to speak out. And then others being able to recognize that, hey, that stuff that I went through actually was abuse. It wasn't just something that I should have taken lying down.
Yeah.
So stuff that maybe just was at the back of their mind, now they're realizing, oh, wait a minute, no, actually that wasn't acceptable. And I can speak out about it. So yeah, I've seen a lot of people that said that they would never have written stuff or they would never have spoken out if they hadn't seen all these people who have bravely told their stories.
Yeah. I think we accept so many things as normal for such a long time, which if you then step back for a bit, then you notice that they're not okay and they're not normal as we thought they were. And then it takes someone else to step out of that and step up and say, this has happened to me. This was not okay, to realize that that wasn't right. And I think it's just brave whoever started out with this, and that it just had this wave of people who came after that, because only now we are able to see that who's the crap and the shit that we want to get rid of and who we want to stick around with.
Yeah, and there's some names that are like, wow, some people that have kind of been standing up for this for ages, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, why are you standing, you're a piece of work.
Yeah.
My polite way of saying it, yeah.
You can stay here.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Perfect. Feels so wrong otherwise.
I've still got family friendly filter in my head.
Do you though?
I feel like just removing that. I need to look at stats and see if people have found me through the family friendly filter, then I might keep it. But if at one point, if it ever goes to like zero of people have found me through that filter, then I'm like,
I mean, you're writing just this family. Zero, though. What?
Just zero.
So I say it's family friendly, like kind of, it's become a bit of a running joke as well, trying to keep it.
I mean, it's a bit like The Simpsons when you're like five, you're like, this is a great comic series. And then you're like 35, you're all like, oh my God, this is all fucking dirty and all that crap. So that's it, how your show is. It's how your show is, how your stream is. It's not really family friendly. It's just very heavily innuendoed.
Yeah, I like to think that a lot of my filth is, but if you're really young, you probably wouldn't get it. Yeah.
It's riding that line hard.
I just like to read out what Bailey said in the chat here. Yeah. He says, I think it's eye-opening, not just the people who's being revealed as shitheads and abusers, but also the fellow streamers and audiences who stand by them despite it all and defending them.
Yeah.
It's so revolting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of people that have, there's definitely one person who I've watched react to things and go, well, I like this person and the person accusing them sounds like they're acting. So therefore I'm going to believe that person. And I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually one of my friends is in a World of Warcraft guild that had some accusations come out about one of the founding members, and they deliberated and asked, like, you know, how are we going to move forward with this? Or it was a leadership committee, and they were actually the person in question stepped down, like not the one accused of abuse, but the person who accused them and said, like, this is what happened to me. Then there was three white guys and one woman left on the committee, and they're like, oh well, before we take any action on this, like, you woman, you go and ask the victim and get further proof.
What?
It was just like this whole not standing with the victim and even having to have that kind of rationale, like, oh, we obviously need more proof of this. We need to go and question them, because, like, that's your place to do that. Like, this is her story. This is what she said. And
what more proof do people need?
Exactly.
Yeah. And especially when people come out with, like, there's when one person comes out with a story about somebody and then 2, 3, 4 other people come out with very similar stories. It's like, whoa, that, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah.
It does say a lot.
All these arguments that people just do it to falsely accuse someone because they want money or whatever crap. And I'm like, have you ever tried to do that?
Yeah. Who would do that?
I mean, even if it's 1 out of 500, then it's still the abuse that people get for even doing that. I'm like,
yeah, literally, out of all of these accusations I've gone around, I've seen maybe one that the person had 100% proof that it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, which was like, it was sad because it's a guy. Do you ever watch Giant Bomb? Oh, I've listened to Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb So I do a click play podcast, or I have done, then it's taking a bit of a break at the moment. It might end up one day coming back, but it's pretty much based on the Giant Bomb cast. And there was a friend of the show who was called out because of this. But then we looked at it, and it was like a messy breakup. They had a long distance relationship, and it was a bit of a toxic relationship. But there was no abuse. But this, like, that one thing, you can look at exactly what was being written, and it was just that it sounds like a pretty toxic relationship between both of them. And it's like one thing like that, and then maybe this one other person that has decided to make stuff up, as then these trolls will then use that to try and invalidate other people's, you know, experiences, which pisses me off a lot.
Yeah, it's like there's a graphic that goes around that it's like there's 100 people, like 100 men, say, and out of this many, like, there's, say, 6 people that go to jail for rape, and then out of that there's like 30 of them that are accused of it, but only like 6 of them get like anywhere near the consequences that their actions deserve. And then out of all of those 100 people, it's like usually only about 2 are incorrectly accused. And it's like, it's maddening that with that low statistics that people are so, like, jumping to the accused's defense.
Also, you have to imagine how many don't speak up. Like, it's the numbers, it's people who do have the courage to speak up about their experiences, and then even those numbers are already low, but then there are so many who don't dare to talk about their experiences with abuse and all of that crap, who like, I'm like, seriously, that's your only concern, that somebody's falsely accused of something? Because that's, like, statistically so low that it's just not a valid argument.
Yeah, and there's some people as well that are like the ones championing this, that really, because that also are very hypocritical. There's the one person, and I'm not going to name names because I don't particularly think it's that serious, but they messaged me when, because I, because there was a Twitch blackout, and I chose to stream because I was doing a charity stream. The day before, I'd raised like 7,000. So I was like, well, I'm not going to stop that. And I think I would do more. I would probably do more good for the, you know, for people rather than streaming. And also this Twitch blackout. Wonderful idea behind it, but it was like 2 days before that it was organized.
Yeah.
And actually, the great stuff that came out from Twitch that evening, I'm pretty sure wasn't exactly as a result of it. I imagine it had been in the pipeline for a while. But no, this person whispered me and said like that they were very disappointed that I was streaming. But it was also somebody who had messaged me on 3 or 4 occasions being incredibly forward and like questioning my relationship with Dave and stuff.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I mean, there's a bit of hypocrisy here because you can't really take. And I'd also heard that they'd had issues with boundaries in the past as well.
Great.
And that was.
I mean, particularly the Twitch blackout. We were all, we didn't, I mean, we did participate in the Twitch blackout, but weren't sure about it as well.
Yeah, I 100% I would have done if I hadn't, even though it was just an arbitrary number, but this 100 days thing, it was a bit of like a OCD thing. I needed to finish it. I needed to prove to myself that I would finish it. And also I had a charity stream that I wanted and I felt like I could definitely add more through that than just
you did
day
make
of,
what 1,000 really, more, £1,000 more that day. So like that was definitely well worth it.
Yeah, it was. Some people. I'm really glad I did stream, but I 100% and I made it clear in the chat as well that I 100% stood behind people that did take it off. And I think, Gus, Moni, you said you weren't tuning in for it, didn't you? And I made it clear. I was like, Moni's not here because she's standing for the Twitch blackout. You know, raise awareness and stuff. Everybody has their own way of doing it, and it seems that Twitch is working. Like the people who've either admitted it or there's been irrefutable evidence, they've banned those channels really quickly. And then the other ones they've passed on, like they're going to have investigations because, I mean, these are people's careers that they want to make sure that they're getting it correct, I suppose. But I saw a lot of Twitter stuff saying like, we're doing this blackout, but don't have a go at people, especially those that you know are on your side for not doing it. Like, Spoffy, for example. I don't know if you know Spoffy. She's on Rainbow Arcade. She's a fantastic streamer. She's got 1,180 days in a row.
She was on the stream the other day, right?
I love her stream. There's not a single bad thing I could say about Spoffy. Her streams are so welcoming, so kind. She's an absolutely lovely, lovely, lovely person. And somebody said like, well, it would make something, you know, it would make a statement if you broke your streak for this one day. And like people were attacking her because she was like saying, you know, it's part of her, for her mental health, having this streak is really helping her and it's giving her like a purpose and doing all this stuff. But there were still people saying to her like, no, you should do this. This would make a statement if you stopped it. But people do it in their own way. She's somebody that stands up 100% for people and marginalized communities and will 100% support action taken against abusers and call those people out that that do abuse. So she's not the enemy. She's not the one to go after.
I think we're in a very weird time where it seems like only one thing is possible, and it's never the case. Like it's never only one side that has the one answer, and everything else is just obsolete. There are two sides to every coin, and I think you can still stream and do good work like you did with raising more money for the Trevor Project, and others decide to do the blackout. And that doesn't mean that I'm all for abusers, because have they watched 5 minutes of your stream? No, they definitely did not. And that's why I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You just talk about people that you have no idea about what their actual morals are in life. So just better shut up. Sorry.
Yeah. But like those people that did take part in it, 100%, 105%, because you know my dad's a math teacher, so I'm good at math. 200% support them that, you know, choosing to do that. Just stay positive. I hate drama. I hate drama that involves me. That's the same with Bailey Philly. I was like, I can watch it from afar, but the second it involves me, I'm like, nope, I'm not interested in any of that.
I know, it's like you're noping right out of there, like the Homer Simpson gif back into the
head. Like, ooh.
For sure. No, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But watching out, that's why I like Twitter. Like one thing which I've failed at the beginning of this year, I was like, I'm not going to respond to anything that's controversial. Yeah. I lasted about 3 months. I was quite impressed with myself. I lasted about 3 months. I was like, anything that's written that could cause an argument, like for my own sanity, I'm going to refrain from commenting it. But then that wouldn't, that then I realized that that ended up me being either silent in stuff that I felt like I needed to say something about. Mm. But also I would see friends. There was one bit where a friend was getting attacked for something and I wanted to like stand up for them, but I knew I would get like a barrage of abuse from this other person. And I was like, no, I'm not going to. And I was like, what have I become? No, I need to stand up for my friends. So I kind of, I just stopped that. Because, you know, I think you silent. Yeah, I've seen a lot of like where people say silence is complicity, which I agree. But then there are people that don't use Twitter that much. I think if you use Twitter all the time and you're always posting your views and then you refuse to post anything about Black Lives Matter or other things, yeah, then yeah, people might be reading between the lines and you probably ought to write something. But if you're somebody that posts like every 2 months or every 3 months or, you know, very occasionally, or it's only about, hey, I'm live, then yeah, you're not, I don't think you're in the same kind of group.
Yeah, same that. For sure. And
we're in the quickfire round still.
No. We just totally live that quickfire round. I have this one comment rule. Like, I would comment on one troll once, and then if I totally see that there's just bullshit coming after me or after whatever we said, then I'm like, yeah, no. I'm not wasting my energy on someone who clearly does not engage in some back and forth or some intellectual conversation, which sounds so posh, but I'm not really that posh. But because it doesn't, it wastes your energy and it wastes just, they won't ever get it. Like, you see from the, at least the second comment after that, that they are just here to cause fucking havoc. And they are not interested in engaging with you in a on a different level at all. So I'm like, why should I even waste my time? And I don't care about their time, but why should I waste my time, my energy, and my mental health to be like, you're a fucking idiot, I'm going to tell you why. And that's why I'm like, no, I'm asking, I'm replying once. And if I get a horrible reply back, then I'm like, yeah, well, you're done. And I'm starting to. And I really don't want to take all of them seriously because I'm like, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. You can't change somebody's opinion if you clearly see that they're not interested in it all. And all they want to do is just cause rage and all that. Because the people who were calling you all the crap, I was like, yeah, you have your profile like what, June 2020? Like, you just muted that fucking
profile. I muted that conversation. What? I completely, what was it about? Because I.
Oh, but the misogyny in.
Oh.
In what's the phrase?
Twitch replies.
Alinity?
Yeah, it was so. Yeah, play with Jambo, who seems really. I haven't seen her Twitch. I don't even know if I follow her. I need to go and give her a follow because she got partnership earlier this month. So I feel like, you know, when people who get partners around about the same time, we're like, hey, we're we're kind of in the same bag here, like with Mike Cheb and Kill Cannon as well. By the way, Kill Cannon did a stream on during Blackout where he spoke purely about like the abuse allegations and stuff, and that was another really good way of doing it, which I felt. But yeah, no, it was something I got annoyed because pretty much every single thing that Twitch types, Twitch could tweet about anything, and then all you've got these neckbeards going, but what about Alinity? she chucked a cat 2 years ago. I'm like, yeah, she did chuck a cat. She should have definitely got a suspension or even permaband, whatever. But it's boring now. Like, honestly, yeah, she chucked a cat. She kissed her cat when she had some vodka and the cat went, yeah, yes, that's very bad. And she should be banned, sure. But geez, the obsession that people have, like, there are way worse things that happen that Twitch don't know about or that they haven't acted upon. Why are you obsessed with this one girl that is, she's attractive and she has a lot of viewers and she might use, good for her, she uses that to her advantage. What, you know, these people who would, yeah, you just, it's misogyny. I 100% say it, and I said that, and oh, I got some some angry replies.
I mean, you got the most mature reply of all, on the entire planet, which is like, why?
Oh,
even
yeah, that
bother?
Was a good one.
Why even bother? Why
it made me
even?
Laugh. What was it again? I can't remember. It was something like, I can't even say it. It's got so many slurs.
No,
in
I don't
it,
but wanna. I don't wanna. Also, I don't wanna call you that in public because I'm like, no way. And no. It's just fucking ridiculous to even. I often wonder what time do people have and how pathetic must their life be that all they can do is sit there and are like, I found this tweet and I'm I don't have enough balls to post as the person that I am. So I'm going to create the fake profile and then I'm going to write one insulting word because that was totally worth my time. And I'm like,
yeah,
you're just pathetic. And who would even engage with you? Because you're like, that was useless. It was just fucking useless. You're not going to give a shit.
I lived off it.
You were reading all these comments for 25 hours because it was just such a great entertainment. And I'm like, no.
I muted that quite quickly. I was like, I'm muted this conversation. I don't want to see all this stuff. But yeah, the people seem really, if you ever want some abuse, just reply to a Twitter thing when someone says, oh, you still haven't banned Alinity. Just reply with, yeah, never mind. Just reply with that. And the amount of abuse you're going to get is insurmountable. It's like, okay, yeah, she did something bad to a cat. She yeeted her cat. I mean, cats fall from much higher places. I'm sure it's fine. But don't give cat vodka. Whatever you do, never give cat vodka or any alcohol. But like, okay, she should have had a suspension. To have a cat taken off her, sure. But, what is this obsession? It's an absolute obsession that these neckbeards have.
It has nothing to do with what's currently going on. And that's all the stuff that they have that they can counter with. And that's the thing that they cling to because they don't want to face the fact that people get abused and sexual harassed by people they look up to. And instead, they're just going to say, but what about this only girl with the big boobs that basically just did something weird to her cat? And I'm like, yeah, but somebody tried to stick his dick into someone else without their consent. So that's the real problem.
Do you have proof? Do you have proof, Moni? Do you have proof? I need photos and
Sure.
That's all their response to everything.
Yeah.
Pony said something interesting in the chat. He was saying that it feels like it's a safe space. I know no form of activism can be necessarily wrong, but he says it doesn't see how a blackout would bring awareness to these issues. I mean, that was my idea, but also the blackout made the news. It made the news worldwide that people were taking part in it. So even if I don't feel too guilty about not being in it because there were enough people in it that it made the news and I was still able to do stuff. And then Twitch did bring out their kind of what they were going to do and then started banning people straight away, even though it was very well, it was in the pipeline already, I imagine. But it was just a great coincidence that it happened straight after.
We did have the discussion about this because we were like, yeah, I mean, what we did for Blackout Tuesday is basically that instead of being live on that day that we wanted to be live because that was clearly like it's a Tuesday now, so we're streaming on Tuesday. So that's when we decided we're not gonna do that. And what we did instead was we created a video of all the Black creators that we kinda know and like and stuff and posted that and didn't put our own faces there. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking that felt like having more
beneficial.
Yeah, and people will notice that.
Yeah, and then just refraining from doing something. And I would always prefer education over not participating. So that's just why I was also like, yeah, I don't know which blackout. I'm like, yeah, it didn't get too much traction. So I was like, yeah, maybe we should have done something more educational around all of this instead of just not doing anything at all. That's what we went with and that's what we stuck to.
Good. And did you put the hashtag? Because that got bumped up. That was at the top. Like, just even, like I said, when I was doing charity streams and people going like, oh, I don't have the money or I'd like to donate. I'm like, alert pushes me up. Like, I get up the directory, more people see it. Some very, like, people were popping in and donating who I'd not seen before. Some people with huge amounts that I hadn't spoken to before. And it was pretty. It was primarily down to the fact that the channel had quite a lot of viewers at that time. So it's visibility. Visibility, even if you can't contribute to something, help make other people who are able to do that more visible. And
Dodo Daddy was just posting in the chat about the Jenna Marbles feud and what's going on with her right now and the canceling of her and all that stuff. And I'm like, it's all. I don't generally appreciate cancel culture. I mean, I totally get that people who are affected by the whatever has been happening in that certain regard and that they don't want to follow that certain account anymore. I'm like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do that. Don't put yourself in a position where you have to deal with crap constantly all the time. But we also need to see that some people, I mean, if I look at my 15-year-old self, I'm like, yeah, she was quite pathetic, wasn't she? And there was so much growth or so much change in that time where I'm like, I can be allowed to be a prick or be an idiot at 15 and even maybe at 20 or even maybe at 30. I still have shit happening in 30, I guess. So that's just something
we need. You're not 30 though, yeah.
I'm 35, dude.
You're not.
I am.
You don't look a day over 22.
Oh, that's really nice. You've drank too much wine.
Well, how much wine? No, I'm joking. No, honestly, you don't.
You didn't have too much wine.
But so, you know, like when I made that Boris Johnson comment, that was, I was actually, no, maybe not then, but I used to be a member of the Conservative Party and proud of, this was when they had David Cameron, who was like a very, hey, I believe I'm going to bring in equal marriage. We're very green and stuff. And we're also sensible with money. And in my head, I was like, sensible with money? Good. We're like that. Supports equal marriage. And they're very good with the environment. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go along with that. And like what it's become now is just something I could... Yeah. Like my dad, who is 70... Oh, God, he's going to... he won't listen to this, but he's 73. He was like, he's never, ever cried watching politics as he did when Brexit vote happened. Like... Because I was living in Spain at that time. So like, and the fact that there's so many conservatives that support that and still do, it just drives me insane. Like things that, so if you look back at me when I was supporting them, you could probably take that completely out of context now and be like, why is he supporting this government like this?
For sure. And also, I think it's just the fact that people can reflect on things that they've gone through and like, yeah, I wasn't in a great place back then, but I have learned so much and that's what's happening, right? People in all ages can still learn. I mean, I did adult education, so I'm a high defender of people will still be able to learn when they're 70 and 80 or 90 if they want to. So I'm like,
oh yeah,
people can change their opinion and life is always about change. And I think it's just how life in general is. And the people who think that change is not something human, they've just been living under a rock for long.
Yeah, there's some people that are like, you must change, but then they don't accept them when they change.
Yeah.
It's like, well, but yeah, honestly, there's also the thing where, okay, you've said you're going to change, but we want to see action. And I think that's, I don't know who Jenna Marbles is.
I don't either.
Apparently she did change.
I mean, I did see that she was like posting about apologies and how she's going to be pulling her YouTube channel and everything, but I was like, I don't know.
I didn't know who she was either. And I was just watching the video and I was like, yeah, it seems sincere and it doesn't mean that you stand for racism because you did that when you're 15 or even when you're 20. And that still doesn't mean that you can't grow from there, right? Because that's what you want. You want to change people who had a horrible idea, because that's what we're all around for, right? You want to change people who seemed like the absolute pricks for such a long time. Mm. And that's when you want to go forward and be like, look at that. They educated themselves. They looked into shit. And now they saw that that's not what they stand for anymore. And that should be rewarded instead of pushed down, I guess.
It should be. I think we should be celebrating the people who stand up and say, like, I have changed. I am changing. Yeah. This is how it is. Like, you're allowed to grow and you shouldn't be shamed for growing as a person, growing as a human being and learning and admitting that you're learning these things.
Yeah. And prove it with action. Because there's all these people that come out with the apologies, but like, okay, prove it.
Yeah.
But we should give people a chance that can prove it. But like I said, it's up to people who are the targets of that abuse, whether they can forgive them or not, I think. No, I was just saying that there's people who are like, they'll accept people's apology on behalf of another group of people that they've offended. That really winds me up.
Yeah.
John was asking about the news about Shane Dawson.
He did post an apology video, but it wasn't very well received, is what I noticed, because they didn't believe that he was that he was sincere about all of this, because he was... Number one, he seems to have quite some pedophile tendencies. Like, he was trying to jerk off on a picture of an 11-year-old Willow Smith, and now the Will Smith family was all super upset about this, obviously. And then he, after Jenna Marbles posted her video, I know, fuck my life. he also came up with an apology video, which didn't seem really sincere. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Who's Jeffree Star? Is he the guy that does makeup?
Yeah.
I know people like his makeup stuff. Is he like just a makeup YouTuber?
He's a YouTuber. Do you think so?
Is he the guy that did Leave Britney Alone?
I don't remember.
I don't know YouTubers.
I don't think so.
He's, if you see him, you know, I think.
I've seen him. It looks like Marilyn Manson, kind of, but light.
Yeah. He has his own makeup brand, and he's like, I bought his makeup. I don't know why. I don't even use it, but
you don't wear makeup. I always thought that was a weird moment.
It was a weird moment. I do have weird moments. I'm an impulse buyer.
We know.
You know, it's never short of drama. We might have not been working and stuff, but I think everyone is at home posting about all drama, which is...
I mean, that's definitely... If you want drama, then you have to follow the makeup industry, because that's just drama. 90%.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
I know somebody who is a boyfriend of a friend of mine who is... I don't really know him, but he posted some... But yeah, some makeup stuff, and he got abused for it because he put like an Egyptian look. I don't know him, so I've got nothing to say on it, but... Some people were offended by that.
Yeah, but it's definitely Canadian Book Girl said it's only drama.
As long as it doesn't involve me, I'll happily read all the comments about it. Just ignore me.
I think it's a decision that you have to make to not want drama in your life. And then you just connect accordingly.
Yeah. You get to an age, don't you? And you're just like, I don't want to be involved in drama. I'll happily watch drama from the sidelines, get my popcorn out and see it all play out and see certain people that you might have grown up with and know completely get... shown up for what they are.
Even 30-year-old me is looking at me like right now and is like super impressed by how chill I am with all of the shit.
I was impressed when I got all that abuse from posting, hey, that's misogynistic. And I was just looking back going, because normally I'd be so riled up that I'd have to reply to all the trolls' comments. But now I'm like, look at these pathetic losers.
It's really just not worth it, because what is happening when you reply? You will get nothing. Fly back, and then you will be like, I'm trying to engage with them more, and I'm going to be so much more smart about this because I'm going to explain to them, right? This is really shit. And all you're going to get back is, you're a fucking asshole, or you're whatever else smart they can think about in that moment. And it's really just not worth anyone's time.
Yeah.
I will say that Monty had to hold me back from replying to trolls when I was on like the JK. You know who train, and I was like sticking up for Daniel Radcliffe because everybody was like, I don't even know what the hashtag was, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why? Daniel Radcliffe is an angel. Why are you doing this? And like, we got quite a lot of hate actually for that because I posted.
Oh, I saw that. I remember seeing that. And I saw the abuse, and I was like, I'm not going to reply. I'm not going to reply. I'm not going to reply.
I know, but I was like, Moni, have you seen this one? Look at these assholes. They're assholes. I'm going to reply. She's like, don't reply. I was like, I'm going to reply. She's like, don't do that. I was like, I'm not going to do that, but I'm fucking mad.
We just say what we can, which is report them for harassment, because no conversation with any of them is ever going to lead to anything. So I'm like, report you.
That stuff happened before I started the Trevor Project stream. It feels weird, but that Trevor Project stuff was only a week. And before that, like there was just attack after attack after attack on trans people. And it was driving me crazy. And I was like, I'm going to do the Trevor Project, but I really wanted to do work for an exclusively trans charity, like Mermaids or something else. And seeing them host the blog by Daniel Radcliffe, I was like, no, that sold me to have, you know, I 100%, because obviously Rainbow Arcade are doing it through them. Stream team that I'm with, it's like I could go into that in a little bit, but they are doing so much money, raising so much money for the Trevor Project, and I loved the fact that they were doing it, but I'm like, should I stick with it or should I go for this trans charity? Because this is one of the things I was talking about with Bailey Furley this morning. Like, one thing that I'm really, I don't know why, but I'm really, obviously I hate all discrimination, but transphobia really pisses me off, and I think it's because there's this kind of middle class, I'm not calling it feminism because it doesn't include all women,
which
I mean, when trans women, they are women, so there's this kind of faux conservatism that makes you want to abuse trans people because apparently they don't get it, they've got privilege, apparently trans women have this extreme privilege that of being born with male genitals that for some reason has given them this extreme privilege. And I don't know, it it's something that really pisses me off. So yeah, seeing Daniel Radcliffe write for them, I'm like, no, I really want to, you know, happily raise money for the Trevor Project. And then also having a couple of people, well, one person who was in a really, really, really low point contacted the Trevor Project. It was in the, they were in the community that we know, you and I know, you both know, was in a really low point, and the Trevor Project saved them. And reading that as well also added to the bits that I wanted to. And there's also somebody, I don't believe they're in chat, and I'm not obviously going to name them, but they were having issues, and I contacted them privately and was like, I can't help you with these issues, but the Trevor Project can. Mm-hmm. I think you should contact them. And I mean, I can read exactly what they said. I won't obviously name them. They said, thank you so much, seriously. I always knew that the Trevor Project existed, but I didn't know it was actually this useful until the fundraiser, and now I understand.
Aww.
Aww. Somebody who is, I believe, 14, 15. And that's so, like, amazing. Yeah, reading that really, really made me very, very happy with what I did. Well,
you
what
did
we
a
did.
Really
what,
good job there.
I didn't, oh, I don't know if I donated any. I don't even think I did, actually. No, I did for other people's. I did for other people's campaigns. I didn't do it in mine. But no, seeing that was, yeah, made everything worthwhile.
It was such a good time.
Oh, God, I nearly shot myself. Dave was coming in like, what's going on? What's going on?
I'm still like, what the fuck are Shep and Geechee working as?
Yeah. I didn't even have champagne on my birthday. I just had it for when we raised that much money. Yeah.
No, that was...
I've seen so many people... Like, obviously we had some really, really big donations, but there were just so, so many different names as well. Like, lots and lots and lots of different people wanted to donate and...
And really, it doesn't matter. You can't shame people for not having money. I mean,
oh, God, no.
It's just some people just have it, or they decide to invest in something that big. Maybe they don't go for holiday this year, but instead they spent their money on the Trevor Project because that was way closer to their heart than going to Fiji or whatever, which we wouldn't even have done. Even every $5 or every $10 donation has just brought you closer to that goal, which was amazing.
No, 100%. Like, yeah, whether people donated $1,000 or $5 or just lurked and helped me get up the directory so that more people could see it. It really, every tiny thing helped.
I mean, you were on the TLT5 front page, so that's...
They were like, what? I didn't even know TLT5 had a front page, but that was...
But it was happening.
Yeah, it was... blew my mind how... I raised money last... Oh, God, I don't even know when it was. It was last year for the wildfires, the bushfires in Australia. Mm. And, well, it'd been in winter for me, wouldn't it? But I was blown away that I raised $500. $550 Australian dollars. So I'm not sure exactly what that is in...
$450,
I think, dollars. And I was absolutely blown away at that. So, like, being able to raise 8,100 and... I think it was 50, the last one. The generosity of some people is awesome.
Don't sell yourself short though, Ben, because I know you say like you didn't do anything but sit there and play games, but it's you who brought this community together. You who's created the sense of belonging and the sense of community, and the people that are here want to support you and support the causes that you believe in. And when it's something like the Trevor Project, like, that is something that is very dear to your community and obviously many people around the world. And it means a lot to see somebody that I assume people are in chat here with us today and in your streams daily because they look up to you and they think that you're freaking awesome.
despite your
abuse. And that you have...
Just roll out of bed and start playing the kid children's game. That's all.
And like that's what we need right now. Like that's kind of what the world needs is more playing children's games and being good human beings.
Yeah. And it's not just you rolling out of bed. It's like you being an open person, you being welcoming to everyone who's on stream. I have to admit that I've never watched any streamer as much as I watched yours. stream, or I never streamed, never watched any streamer before I found you on Twitch. So, and then we found your stream, and it's like, I just want to be here. I just want to hang out here. And it's not because you just sit there and play children's games. It's because you're welcoming. You're really nice. You really, even though you don't remember shit, you still like remember people and their names. I'm like, how does he even do that? And it's just.
Thank you, Amanda.
Fuck you sideways.
I can see your name on the bottom there.
Never mind. I'm stopping my positive rant now because
Please do. I'm feeling so comfortable right now.
I know how it goes.
Let's just pivot here, guys. Ben, what advice would you give to young queer kids who maybe want to get started streaming on something like Twitch or Facebook or not Mixer?
Make sure you've got not Mixer, yeah. Make sure you've it's hard to like to get support if you're just starting out. But yeah, I'm really lucky that I had people around me that support me. And when I first started streaming, there wasn't anything such like the LGBT tag. There were these things called communities, and there were like 20 different ones for different things. I think there was like LGBT was one community, and the other one was LGBTQIA+.
What?
There was these two communities that I joined that I had like as tags instead. And so I used those and people found me. Yeah, we got trolls and stuff. But I would just say, if you're young, you're LGBTQIA and you're starting out streaming, have at least one person with you. But then it's hard to actually find someone that would. I'd probably say the same as if I would with anybody. If anybody's starting streaming, what I did was I just watched Twitch for months. I watched Twitch for 2, 3, 4 months before I started streaming. Got to know people. Don't make it, there's a bit of networking in there, but just watch streams that you enjoy. Watch streams that, maybe you want to kind of emulate and enjoy. Get to know those people. Don't promote. Don't say you're going to start streaming. Don't be like, because that'll just annoy, because you can just ruin a friendship, or you can ruin, if you're in a chat, if you're in a streamer's chat and then you say, I'm thinking of stream. Well, no, even now I'm thinking of streaming, that's fine. But if you like say, right, I'm going now because I'm about to start my stream, that can annoy people. But just, get to know streams and watch loads of streams that you want, to be like. That's what I do. Toph, for example. Toph is one of the streamers I look up to and I've watched so much. Unfortunately, our schedules pretty much clash identically nowadays, so I can't really watch him apart from before I start my stream. Although now I start an hour later, I can catch an extra hour of his stream. But he is someone who I've looked up to and wanted to emulate for as long as I can remember. And he has such a wholesome stream. And I remember once he raided me and I was playing Nier Automata. And the second he raided me, there was a butt naked person.
What?
And I was so, so embarrassed because I was like, all these young, really sweet and friendly people came over and there was butt. And I don't think there's peen, but there was like, it was like a Barbie. No, it was like a, Ken doll type thing going on.
Nice.
So embarrassed.
Amazing.
But no, he's... like, watch people that you'd look up to and kind of like learn from them and just see how they behave and just get influenced by everybody else. That's what I do. Nothing I have is original. Even my sound effects. Half the sound effects are from a DJ called Nick Abbott, who I've been listening to. He's a talk radio host and he uses sound effects to take the piss out of his callers the entire time. And that's pretty much what I do as well.
You can't invent the wheel new.
No.
And in the end, I do think it's authenticity, even though this word is super hated. But in the end, if you pretend to be someone that you're not going to be successful with it. So,
Or you'll hate it.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a person I was talking to, gossiping about that. They'd been the victim of abuse and they like then posted this huge story of their experience on Twitch. And one of them was that these people were kind of assuming that they were like this character. So they played up to this character. And it's not somebody I've watched, but I've seen like, I've just like kind of made my idea of like, that's what that person's like. And they played this character for ages and ages. And then they became partner. They became really successful, but they got to a point where they're like, I don't like this because this isn't me. This isn't me at all.
Yeah.
And I'd rather... It's way better to be maybe not as successful by being yourself than having to put on this act. But I mean, the act works for some people, but it's draining.
But for how long? Being myself. But for how long does it work for some people? It works for a certain amount of time, maybe, but it's not something that you can keep up for your entire life.
It's not. No. And it's draining. Like I said, it's draining being myself. Can't imagine being somebody else.
Right. I totally get that. I'm like, I couldn't pretend to be somebody else. It's exhausting being me. I'm awesome.
Also a trick. I really recommend putting your email address in your Twitter bio.
Not is what you're saying.
No, do it. Do it, because I got a Persona 5 review code thanks to that. And I keep getting emails. I get emails like every week or so with someone give me a code to a random game.
Okay.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it.
Also, I did just get one right now. Hi there. Cool. I'd like to grow and manage your Instagram page. I specialize in developing niche? Oh, how rude. Instagram accounts. You know, I like growing and managing shite Instagram pages with no content. Cheers, thanks for that. Yeah.
Amazing.
No, I just got that email now, but it reminded me. Yeah, if you're a streamer, put your don't put it as like an actual link, like put the word at. I think that's why I'd write mine or something, but
like the pseudo spam saving thing. That yeah, like I put can't recognize that it's an email address.
Yeah, you'll still get loads of crap sent your way, but every now and again. Like, yeah, I've had certain games sent to me. Unfortunately, there was a Colin Moriarty game. I don't know why he's involved in a game, but his company sent me a free game. So I sent it off to a friend when you supported that wanker. Yeah.
Supported that wanker.
Yeah, not a fan of him. Do you know him?
No.
Yeah, he left. Well, on International Women's Day, he said something like, oh, they're all on strike. Peace and quiet or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like a really shite joke. And yeah, and a lot of people were like, come on. Don't be a dick. And then instead of going like, oh, I'm joking, he said like, no, I'm standing up for it, and like just made it worse. And then he quit I think he was on Kind of Funny, and then he quit them. And now he's become this libertarian. His Twitter handle is No Taxation.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good person.
What a bell end. Yeah. But, you know, some people fortunately like him.
I'm not even going to ask you, Ben, if there's anything else that you want to talk about, because it's the longest podcast we've ever had.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize how I've...
No. It's fine. It's totally
fine. We were already... podcast before. Yeah, I'm down for that.
We were already expecting that, to be fair. And it's...
Yeah,
it's...
but we can totally have an after show. But before we get there, Ben, how can our listeners find you on this amazing world of the internet?
Well, if you draw a pentagram on the floor and then you chant my name three times, I appear. Yeah, just... Biggest Benus, 2 G's and 2 N's. Yeah, that is on Twitch and Instagram. You have to put a number 1 at the end of it for Twitter. And on Snapchat, apparently, I'm too big, they said, which I was quite surprised at after seeing some other people's on Snapchat. But it's Big Benus on there, not Biggest Benus.
We put all of that in the show notes, or Amanda does, because she does the show notes.
I will. I do the show notes. I'll put that all there. Well, thank you so much for this amazing episode of Geek Caring.
Thank you so much.
To talk through the laughing here.
But thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be asked. And, you know, I love podcasts. I've done a podcast for over 100 so episodes, like for 3 years or so. And we've taken a quite long break at the moment. I don't know if it'll come back, but it was... I love podcasts. I've been asked to be on one by two lovely, lovely ladies. It was
you had too much wine.
I'm pissed as a fart.
I mean, to be fair, Ben was all like, could I be on your podcast? And we were like, yeah.
We were already talking about this, but we didn't want to be too harsh on the question. But like, sure, if he's asking, then why the fuck not?
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. And we know that our listeners who aren't joining us live are going to love the conversation as well. So thank you so much. And make sure you follow Ben on everywhere, because he's a delight. And we will see you next week for another awesome episode of Geek Herring. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.